Hello, welcome to the November 2015 edition of the Catherine Swatridge Hypnotherapy Podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today by Dee Clayton, public speaking coach, owner of Simply Amazing Training, and author of Taming Your Public Speaking Monkeys. Welcome, Dee. It's lovely to have you here today.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Pleased to be here.
So you have lots of different roles. Lots of different jobs, I suppose. How would you describe, in summary, what you do?
So mainly I'm a presentation skills trainer and I focus on communications bigger picture as well. So my niche is presentation skills, but I also love talking to people about how to communicate better generally as well.
Lovely. So what led you to pursue this route?
So I got into this really because my background is in marketing, so that's all about communication skills anyway and what makes people tick. And then I discovered NLP, which you know plenty about yourself, and I thought I really wanted to see how that can help people in their challenges they face in the corporate world. One of the biggest ones I see is presentation skills and people being nervous or sometimes having an absolute fear of it. So that's what I decided to do, use it in that area.
Fantastic. And so what would your, or who would your typical client be?
So I work with a whole variety of clients, as you do, I'm sure, which is really interesting for me. But mostly, I'd say the kind of corporate people who have succeeded in their career. They're kind of at management, senior management level, but they know that this fear of presenting is holding them back. So they probably aren't at the level they could be with their skill sets. And sometimes even their bosses want them to go for the next roll up, but they won't do it because they know they have to present, or, you know, that's what's stopping them. So it's really is some of those people. Some people, though, who are already good at presentations just want to get better. And of course, I do the level two course as well. But most people are the people who it's getting in their way. It's really stopping them from advancing.
Okay. And do you just work with clients in the UK, or do you tend to work around the world as well?
Well, if I'm lucky enough to work around the world, I will do. So I've been invited by several companies to come and talk to groups of their people. So either I do speeches or I've done training. So in different places like Malta and just some fantastic places. And recently I went to Malaysia. So that was fantastic as well.
Very nice. And so having travelled and having worked in various different continents, what similarities and differences do you find between the needs that people have in these different areas of the world?
Oh, that's a great question. And I think the personality styles do differ quite a lot. So in Malaysia, for example, there was a greater tendency even for corporate senior women to be more introverted and have those kind of beliefs around it's not okay to speak up, it's not okay to be heard. So there's a lot around the mindset stuff there. But in terms of what I call the public speaking monkeys, which are the little voices in your head that tell you you're rubbish, you're stupid, or you can't do something, those generally are similar across the world. It was amazing when I went to America. I was just, because often from the UK perspective, we think Americans are more confident. Well, when I went and did the monkey training in America, I was absolutely amazed to know the monkeys underneath were exactly the same. It's just the behaviours and culture along the surface level on the top, which is very different, I think.
So the monkeys idea I find fascinating. What was the inspiration, first of all, for describing public speaking fears in terms of monkeys, and then also for writing your book, Taming Your Public Speaking Monkeys?
Well, the monkeys idea came up a few years after I'd been doing my presentation skills training, and I had to work with a couple of children. And I was using terms that were quite long, like unconscious mind, which is fine for adults, but possibly not that exciting for kids. So I was thinking, how can I make a metaphor that will work with children? And what I did was I had two wooden monkeys that my mum and dad gave me when I left for university, which was a while ago now. So they gave me these two wooden monkeys, which were actually replicas of their wooden monkeys, which are about 50 years old. So they were kind of toys that I'd used, or kind of decorations that I'd had in my house. So I took those monkeys along and I used those with those kids. And after I finished, it went down so well, I thought, I'll try it the next day, because I was teaching adults the next day. And when I said to my class, you know, do you have public speaking monkeys? One lady replied back, monkeys, I've got a whole flipping jungle full of them. And at that point, I knew that it was something that really resonated with them. So I've really expanded it since then.
And where can people buy the book if they're interested in it?
Yes, the book called Taming Your Public Speaking Monkeys, that's available on Amazon. And I wrote it because I wanted people to be able to access the techniques that I use without having to come to me one-to-one. Of course, I like one-to-one clients, but not everybody has the time or the money to be able to invest in that. And the cost of a book, if they can follow all the instructions in the book, of course, they've got to do the what it says, not just read it, but actually do the exercises, then that will work and it will help people overcome their fears.
Great, and I'll put a link to that book underneath this podcast for those of you that want to find out a bit more about Dee's work. So Dee, there are lots of presentation skills training courses out there. What makes yours unique?
Well, I'm really passionate about people's mindsets, much like you are. I believe that you have to work with the mindset first and then follow up with skill sets. And too many presentation skills trainers just talk about skills. So they teach you how to stand or how to breathe. All of those things are really important. But if you already have a little monkey saying, you're stupid, you can't do it, you've just learned some techniques that you're not going to use because you think you're too stupid to use them, for example. So I always work with mindset once, and this isn't only with my presentation skills training, it's with any training I do. I'm all about mindset first, then skill sets, which is interesting though, because you know a lot of people don't value the mindset stuff, they value the skill set stuff. So there's a balance to be had in how you position that. So that's how the monkeys have helped me to do that.
Brilliant. And so what are the typical or the most common limiting beliefs that people have around public speaking?
There's a lot of them, but I mentioned your stupid monkeys. So is it okay if I just say where some people get that from? So often at school, people, their first experience of what is called public speaking is reading a book out loud in class because they stand up and they read the book. And then if they get a word wrong, so they might say chef instead of chief, then the kids laugh at them. And that's their first experience of what we now know is public speaking. And they're worried that people are laughing at them, so they feel stupid. Or they might have got the word wrong. It could be looking silly. So if they do something in school and they wear the wrong clothes, people laugh at them, then they're worried about looking silly. There's another monkey about you're wrong, so people don't like being wrong. But the interesting thing is how this then resonates in people's lives. So if you've got your stupid monkey, for example, it's not untypical for them to have a lot of qualifications, overqualified, because they want to prove that they're not stupid, which is amazing, isn't it? And then actually it's the people that really aren't stupid that have those monkeys. So that's what I tell them, don't worry, it's not true, and that's why you've got the monkey, because I guess if it was true and you weren't all that intelligent, you'd just go, well, I'm not all that intelligent, that's fine. The reason it's a monkey is they know inside it's not true. So you're stupid, nobody likes you, you don't belong, you're not good enough, you're wrong, all of the kind of standard stuff. But hopefully most people only have one or two monkeys, not the whole lot.
Yeah. So all the work you do with public speaking, actually then people use in all areas of their lives. It must make such a massive difference to people in their lives, in their general confidence, social anxiety, all those kinds of things as well, which is really, really nice. Do you find that it has a knock-on effect to the rest of their life?
Absolutely, and that's exactly what drives me to do it. You know, obviously I want them to do well in their presentations, but what really, really motivates me when I do a follow-up call, like I did just this morning, spoke to a client who's done the program, done the follow-up call, and you hear about the presentation that went fantastically well and how he feels more confident. He went networking and he's never been networking before. And they do all these things that are just outside of their comfort zone and everything gets easier. So yes, absolutely, it has a knock-on effect, which they won't believe if you tell them before they come, but afterwards you hear about it, which is absolutely lovely. And you know what the other thing is? They're setting a great example to those around them. If they can get over that, then their children can get over whatever their stuff is, and their colleagues can, their team, you know, so they have a wider impact than they ever know as well.
What fantastically rewarding work. So do you tend to work in groups or more on one-to-one basis? And do you work by Skype? What's sort of the typical way you would work?
So the typical way I work is about 50-50 between one-to-one or in-house groups with people from the same team. Of course, they've all got to be open to talking about this stuff. And what we do is half monkey taming and then half skills afterwards. Once they've tamed their monkey, we work on the skills and use a case study presentation. But I've also worked with some, when I did the training in America, then a couple of other people joined the team the following year and they couldn't afford to fly me out there, so we did some Skype training as well. So I'm pretty flexible. As long as it works and we can find a way to work, that will work with me.
And so what differences do you notice between one-to-one training and group training?
That's an interesting question. I guess the one-to-one training is deeper because we're working on such a personal level, more about that other benefits as well. So we can really tidy up any monkeys in any other areas of life as well. So I often end up talking about family stuff or, you know, stuff with their kids. It could be anything. And when you're one-to-one, you have got that time to sort that out as well. When it's a corporate, not only do you not have time to do that, but it's not appropriate to do it either. So we stick fairly rigidly to the brief of presentation skills monkeys rather than women do deeper work.
And I'm curious to know, have you ever worked with anyone famous you're allowed to tell us about?
Yes, I've worked with a couple of footballers, actually. They often retire early, so they want to be speakers afterwards. Neither of them had the public speaking monkeys. They were already confident, so they did my level two program. One of them was a premiership player from Chelsea and Leeds, which if you're from the UK, you'll know what that means. And he wanted to learn how to be a motivational speaker. And since then, he's done a really good motivational speech for a big bank in the UK. So that's really fantastic. And another footballer came to me and he's developing 5 other businesses and he wanted to do speaking in many of those. So he's a real entrepreneur with a fingers in many pies. So yes, that was really exciting because I'm not sure I knew that much about football before, but I know a lot more now. So yes. And any celebrity clients out there, feel free to come and talk to me because I think it's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very interesting because they've got such a different background to a lot of other more corporate clients, I suppose, you see. What's the biggest transformation you've ever seen in one of your clients?
So the biggest transformation, I guess there's a few. One was a lady who is an accountant and she used to faint literally before presenting. So she used to, as she was walking up towards doing the presentation, she did actually once faint. And we worked together on a one-to-one program. And now not only has she lost that fear and nerves, but she's recently done some conference presentations to hundreds of people talking about accountancy, which some people would say isn't the most interesting subject in the world. She's made it interesting. She knows how to do that. And she said she's gained several new leads and clients from it. So that's really fantastic. That was very, very rewarding. And on the opposite end of the scale to some extent was a father of the bride. I normally work with corporate people, but he phoned me up and said, you know, my daughter told me she's going to get married. And the first thing I thought, instead of how exciting, is, oh no, I have to do a speech. And so the wedding was 9 months away. And I said, well, let's get working together soon, because then you can look forward to your daughter's wedding. And I think it was about a month ago or so. And he phoned me afterwards and he said that speech went so well, it couldn't have gone any better, and he loved the day and he enjoyed it, and it just nearly brought a tear to my eye. I was just so proud of him for doing such a good job, but how important that was to him and his family.
Yeah, because that makes such a huge difference to people's lives. Public speaking fear is one of those things that just massively holds people back. So I know you're writing another book, is that right? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, I think I may have been slightly crazy when I decided to do this. So I'm writing my next book, which is How to Avoid Career-Limiting Presentations. And I think that taps into something we talked about earlier, which is from working with so many senior clients, I see them holding themselves back. And obviously there's presentations, as you think of a presentation, which is standing up with a PowerPoint. But you know what? There's so many other things that I class under public speaking or presentations that other people don't realise, like just running a team meeting. If you get promoted, you'll need to be at the front of that team meeting and leading the team. And that's what people sometimes need, and they miss their promotion because of that. There's another area of people, though, who aren't scared at all, but who are just doing fairly poor presentations. And because they aren't in pain, they don't come to me. And in a way, I want them to, so that they can see how they're holding their own career back just by doing average or poor presentations. But the bar's so low, so they don't know they're doing bad presentations because everyone's saying to them, well done. Well, I'll tell you why they're saying well done, because you actually got up and said something, unlike the hundreds of people who are too scared. It doesn't mean you're giving a good message, and it doesn't mean you're promoting yourself or your team or your product or your message as effectively as you could. And so they're not seen as having gravitas, and hence those kind of secret conversations in the HR room that go on about you is just like, yeah, they're not ready for it yet. And you don't know what that means, not ready for it yet. Probably what that means is you're not showing yourself as a leader.
Yeah, I mean, public speaking fears, as you say, you know, it holds you back in so many areas of your career. And I treat a lot of people who maybe don't think of this as public speaking, but even going around a team meeting and having to say, hi, I'm Bob and I work in accounts, people are terrified of that. So if that's you, do check out Dee's work, because you can apply these techniques whatever your public speaking level is. So if a client or a potential client knows they've got a presentation to do in about 6 months' time, when should they be getting in touch with you?
Great question. Immediately is the answer. I see this so much, that people leave it to the last minute, and then there's not enough time necessarily, or it's a panic. I mean, we normally manage to squeeze it in, but it's a panic. And if they'd only come to me earlier, as soon as they knew about the speech, they can come to me, you can get it all sorted. And then, as I say, with the same guy with the wedding, they can look forward to the event and start having their eyes open for other opportunities. So, for example, they might have wanted to video the event. They might want to use it for their marketing. They might want to do some pre-study for the participants. You can't do any of that if you're really last minute in thinking about it. So I say come early, and if you don't need to do it till later, I'll let you know. But too many people say, I've got a speech, you know, in 2 weeks' time, and you're fully booked. You're like, well, please, you've known about it for 6 months. But I understand that partly that's the monkeys. So if they've got the monkeys, they're worried about the presentation, so they try and ignore it till the last minute. And that's some of the behaviours that come up. But yeah, sooner the better.
See, how can people find out a bit more about you?
So my website is www.simplyamazingtraining.co.uk, and on there there's email addresses and telephone numbers, so feel free to get in touch. Or as you said, my book is on Amazon, Taming Your Public Speaking Monkeys, and it would be great to hear from some people.
Lovely. And I'll put all the links to Dee's information just below this. But Dee, thank you very, very much for coming in today.
Thank you very much from me and my little wooden monkey. Excellent.